Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. For three adventurous decades, Milwaukee's Wild Space Dance Company has taken audiences on journeys that confound the accepted ideas of what dance can be. From performances in expected places like a theater to those in decidedly unexpected venues like the Menominee Valley's Three Bridges Park, Wild Space continually redefines modern dance for both performers and audiences.
Their newest work, Artifacts, is a site-specific work. This time, the company finds itself in a former industrial building in River West, now called the Goat Palace. I recently caught up with founder and artistic director Deb Lowen there, where she took a little time before rehearsal to tell me about this newest venture.
Well, hi, Deb Lowen.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. In the throes of what am I making here?
What are you making here? And tell me where we are, first of all.
This is a space in River West, 3740 North Fratney, and it is called the Goat Palace. And the owner of the building also owns the building next door and this big lot on the side of the building that we're in. And he wants this to be an event space. So this is part of the creative, kind of River West Creative Arts District that they're hoping to kind of get going. There's a new brew pub next door in the building. And there's, I don't know if you are familiar with the Nut Factory, which is two buildings over, a fantastic studio space for a lot of River West artists.
A lot of visual artists.
A lot of visual artists.
Yeah. And this space, for those who don't know where we are, it's very industrial.
Yes.
Or maybe post-industrial.
I think it's on the cusp of figuring out what it is, and I really hope that they can maintain this sense of space that's here and not just kind of level it and turn it into office buildings, et cetera.
'Cause generic condos.
Yeah, generic condos. Really. It's when you look outside, you don't even know that you're in the city. The lot across the street is probably going to be sold at some point, but right now it's full of trees and grass, and it doesn't look like it looks like you're at the edge of a nature preserve. There are rabbits and raccoons kind of running around the outside of the building, so it has that edge of industrial that's kind of past its time, but is moving on to something else. And then two blocks over, you got homes. And in this direction, you've got, going towards capital, you've got commerce. So it's this really, this mix of intention, I guess, with the spaces. And I used to live in River West. Somebody said to me, you know, it feels like Villa Terrace was the space where you were talking about have done. And in River West, it's can do. And I heard that, and I thought, I've got to repeat that to myself and tell that to people, because that's very much how I feel about River West, that it's a... People here just dig in, they make roots, they live next door to all kinds of students and working class and industrial people who work in factories, and it's just such a mix of cultures that it's really a lovely place because of that, and that has not gone away since, you know, I lived here a long time ago, but that really has not changed, and that's really what I like about River West.
Yeah.
And it's a long stretch, you know, it's not a wide stretch of streets. It's narrow, but it stretches all the way down to Holton. So it's a very interesting plot of land, and kind of a band-aid of a neighborhood, I guess.
I like that, band-aid of a neighborhood. Yeah. That's terrific. Do we know why it's called Goat Palace?
I think that the owner was at a place where they were looking at you know, a convention or a meeting of people who are trying to do creative things in their communities, and he's very much a part of Riverworks, and I believe he just wanted to have a space or a name that would be catchy. I think he was at a place called the Cow Palace or...
There is a
sheep
cow palace.
Or a sheep
yes.
palace. Or, he was yeah. at a place that had another ant. And he thought, what about the goats? So, of course, you can't say that in front of me and then not have me go try to find goats.
Of course. So, and will there be goats?
There will be goats.
Oh, excellent.
There will be goats.
Yeah. See, I was hoping it had something to do with the fact that this was once like a goat farm.
No, I don't even think the owner, Carl Nielsen, is the owner. I don't believe he even... knows enough about the history at this point to know what this space was or what it was used for. It's been quite a transition, because it's often used as a storage space. So moving the things out of here has been taking some time and taking some physical labor and commitment on people's parts.
Well, we're standing in sort of, I guess, it looks like it's sort of an L.
Yes.
And we're on probably the longer end of that. And it's because it was a warehouse, it was very high. It's,
yeah,
what, 40, 50 feet?
Oh, yeah.
60 feet?
Easily.
Yeah.
Beautiful cathedral kind of structure. Just really beautiful.
The beams are gorgeous.
Yeah, they're really beautiful.
Yeah. But I have to say, we're standing on cement.
Mm-hmm.
That cannot be good for dancers.
Right.
What are you doing for that?
I'm very careful always with what dancers can do, whether we're outdoors or sight things. So this is not a show where they're jumping and turning and spinning, and it intentionally works with... We make rhythmical things with the feet, and we play with how much you can see. We have... This is going to be a wall-to-wall curtain that blocks this off, and you'll see a little bit. We play with the aperture of how much you can see. And
you're seeing outside.
You're seeing outside. Yeah. And then at some point, this is going to get swung up. And that's a production thing we haven't figured out yet. But then the space opens. The audience will be moving around to three different locations at the beginning. And then they will be coming inside. And then they'll be seeing all together one event that happens in this big space. And then they will be moving to all of these bays. I'm using five bays. There are actually seven or eight.
Yeah.
And a couple of them are full of stuff, and we won't be touching those. But when I first came in here, my first thought was, what does this space remind me of? And I just sit. I bring my little camper chair, and I just sit, and I look, and it reminded me of antique malls.
I was just going to say that. Like, you go into the little side and you find a treasure.
Yeah, you go in, and that's kind of what I thought. Okay, what happens if we build these spaces? So, and you can see the look of it. You can see that I'm very visual. I'm a very visual maker. The kinetic is there, but I really love the mix of what is the body doing where the body can change the space. That's why I do sight things, is how does the sight change what the body, how the body is read, or what the body wants to do or can do or is kept from doing, and what are the apertures, looking at it. So we have this space where the audience we're going to curtain off all of these spaces so they all have their own integrity. Then they would be like dioramas. And the space in front of you with the pen will be built out to be a real pen.
And that's where the goats
will be. That's where the goats will be. And we have to still have sod, and we'll kind of put the goats in there with the dancer and the chair. And then a lot of the stuff here are really the artifacts that I found in the space and using that. And then there are other things that I keep thinking about, like the artifacts of the 50s and the 60s and the artifacts that you would find when you walk into an antique, one of those malls. And those little entrances are, you're walking into someone's life of collecting and of stuff and of personality. They're not neutral. So these are bee boxes that were somebody had a bee industry farm, and they're all collected in the back of the yard, and they're not used for anything. They've been there for years. And so I looked at them, and I love the architecture of them. And so the dancers that are in this set move the boxes around and keep changing the space as they're dancing with each other and with the boxes. So the audience sits really close on this one. In the goat area, the audience will walk in and walk around. We're going to make that all the way around. This space here, we're going to curtain off, so you actually have to walk all the way in. And we'll have the audience be really close to the dancers, and they're on a diagonal over here, and they work on those two. That back shelf over there, mm-hmm. and there's things that they find in the drawer, and et cetera. So, and then
these wonderful 50s chairs.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. And then this is going to be an empty space, and we'll keep it that way. And we're going up against type, so the dancers are very elegantly dressed in the dirtiest of the spaces. This far space down here, we're going to wall off with cardboard and have peepholes. So this is a space that Tony Horn, who is a director from UWM in the theater department, he's directing a piece that's inside that space with two dancers and an actor. So the audience will have to figure out how they navigate to look through and what do they see, et cetera. So all of these things, we have five locations and everything repeats five times. So the audience will move around. to see.
I love the idea that the audience is complicit in the making.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's part of what you do, but the idea that you have to navigate the space as an audience member as well.
Yeah.
It's not just the dancers doing it for you. You
right.
have to do it too.
Right. And you have to make decisions like, oh, I want to go over here because I know who's going to make, you know, the dancers in this, I know them and I want to see them first. But there's nothing needs to be first or second. It's just a rotation. There will be some correlation and kind of an over arc. Of element of sound, because I've invited a UWM student who's just so gifted and talented, Olivia Valenza. She's a clarinetist and also a composer, and she and another student are making the sound score for the spaces. So what you hear will be heard by somebody inside the space listening, and the goats will be bleeding, I'm sure, and you'll have some walkie-talkie radios going on and off. Over here, there'll be record players that come on and off that the dancers manipulate. So there are sound elements that happen within, and then there are also sound elements and musical elements that happen without, and the musicians will be rotating around.
They're
moving as well, yeah. And this is such a great sound for space.
Oh my gosh.
Don't have to microphone anything.
Nope.
It's just really
lovely. I mean, you can hear the echo
yep.
of my voice and your voice. Mm-hmm. If we speak loudly enough, it just bounces off everything, but in a really full way. Sometimes echoey things sound very thin and tinny,
yep.
and this does not.
No, this is just a beautiful space. And I can hear, when Olivia plays way down here, the audience out there can hear her. It's faint, but you can still hear her. So we're playing with the migration of how that sound travels and where do they go. What's the effect of the audience hearing this from different locations?
So I know you're about, as we're talking, you're about a week away from opening this. What has being in this space taught you? I know you're out all the time. This is what you do. You're site-specific,
right.
and you're always pushing the boundaries of things and trying to discover new things. So what so far have you discovered here?
What I've done with this space that I have never done before, I have made everything on site. Oftentimes, we'll have some ideas, we'll meet in the studio, we'll work on some things, and then we'll come over here and we'll make them fit. For some reason, I just felt I need to see everything in context, and I need to also make in context. And I also needed to, just because of you can imagine, one person there, two people here, two here, that the company of eight or nine people that can be in one big moment, which we have, once they're dispersed, rehearsing all of that, how am I in all those places? So I have asked the dancers in this show to participate really fully in the making of things. Here's my list of things to try with Jimmy. Go over there and work with Jimmy over here, and let's see what comes out of that. Or this needs to be over here. Just go and I'll check. So a lot of directing from that, but also, and then looking at things and then finding out, oh, that might not work there, but I know it'll work over here, and then just kind of cutting and pasting that. So that's been necessary just because I just couldn't be in all these places at once. And then coming together, that's the other rehearsal part, is how does this work with this, and how do all the timings work together, and how does the logistics of what's different is also that the bays have to get built, and they haven't been built yet. So it's going to be, the space will have a very different understanding for me when we have walls. From other spaces, that's what's different. And it's hard. It's just, I don't, rehearsals, it's sometimes when I rehearse outside, I have to have shorter rehearsal spans just because it's just exhausting to be outside, but also in here. This is our warm-up area.
Where the bats are.
Yeah, where the mats are, and
right.
It's filthy. When the other show was here, they tried to wash the floor, and it just made mud. So that also was something that I have to find some place for them to lie down. But when we really get going, it's going to be like Yeah. Right. Sorry. It's grueling in that way. And we haven't tested yet 5 runs in a row. So that's the other thing, is how to make that work, how to be fresh about that. The audience will participate in making that fresh because, oh, here's new people coming in. So,
and yeah, and they'll change the dynamic in some way.
Yes.
Even if they just decide to move more that way as opposed to that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Again, it's such a great space and it's a wonderful use of it.
Yeah.
I think. And I mean, as you're talking about it, I'm standing here and I'm imagining all of it happening. I can see where the spaces are going to be, mm-hmm. and where some of the stuff is already built and where the goats will be, mm-hmm. and all mm-hmm. of that. But mm-hmm. it's like, I can almost imagine it coming to life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And
it's like this place needs to be resurrected in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think this can take off in such a fantastic way. You could have, you know, weddings here, but bands here. River West needs this kind of a space for big events that where they can be indoors and the getting the permits for this place. We have a temporary permit for this, and you know, that's all a lot of work to get things fixed so that things are, you know, so it's up to code. It's got a lot of potential.
Well, Deb, thank you. I cannot wait to see the show.
Oh, good.
Meet the goats.
Yes.
And see the dancers.
Meet the goats. They have names.
Of course they do.
Abby and Serenity and Pearl.
Oh,
right. Yes.
So all little girl goats.
They're all, yes, and they're all coming up from Burlington, from Ocala Acres is the farm. But, they do goat yoga. And she said, oh, yes, they know how to behave around people. It's like, okay, all right.
Well, that's your next business is goat
yoga. Yeah, goat yoga. Yeah. Well,
you might need it after all this.
Yes, for sure.
So. Anyway, thank you so much, Deb, and best of luck.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Deb Lowen is the founder and artistic director of Wild Space Dance Company. They'll be performing Artifacts September 14th through the 17th at the Goat Palace on North Fratney. There is more information at WUWM.com.